You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. So what's been going on at the TD Garden this week?
Verhage wins the series for Florida. And this joyride ends in a Hindenburg-like ending.
That's NESN broadcaster Jack Edwards' reaction to the Bruins' historic season coming to a stunning end with that overtime loss in Game 7 to the Florida Panthers. And then the very next night, this happens in Game 1 of the Celtics' second-round playoff series against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Here comes Tatum, one to fire, Brogdon. It's intercepted. Maxey's got it. The shot clock didn't go off. Maxey the other way. Slams it down. Philadelphia's got the lead. Maxey stole the ball.
The Celtics then quite literally throw away Game 1 against the Sixers before rebounding in Game 2 to tie the series. They play Game 3 in Philly tonight. The question is, can they avoid the same fate as their TD Garden neighbors? So we are joined in studio by Fluto Shinzawa, senior writer for The Athletic, covering the Bruins. We also have Abby Chin, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston, joining us by phone from Philly. Welcome, Fluto.
Hi, Tiziana.
And hey there, Abby.
Hello, good morning.
Okay, so the overarching conversation here is what happened. And I think we're going to start with Fluto. Abby, I'll come to you in a minute. Fluto, Bruins go into Game 5 last Wednesday with a 3-1 lead, and then, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah, oh my God, that's a very good description of what happened in terms of being up 3-1 in the series, Tiziana, being up with less than a minute to go in Game 7. And then losing the series. It's just, I identify four reasons why the Bruins lost. First, most of the players didn't play well. I could see two players who really met or exceeded expectations like they did in the regular season. That's a lot of players who did not. Second, poor coaching. A lot of mistakes, scrapping a goaltending rotation that had worked for them all year, line changes. It was a tough series for Jim Montgomery. Number three, the pressure of the regular season. This was literally a team that set history, right? 65 wins. That's just a whole lot of pressure for them to deal with, especially when they're up 3-1 and they lose and then they lose again. A lot of pressure to deal with. And then fourth, Florida was a very good opponent. And they're up 2-0 against Toronto in the second round.
All right, so I want to, the coaching thing I'm going to flag, and heads up, Abby, I'm going to flag it for you too, because it's the last thing we're going to talk about together, all three of us. I want to come back to the other stuff. You know, Fluto, throughout the season, as we talked about this team and their greatness, we kept talking about the grind of an NHL season, and that sooner or later, the worry was that physically, it would just catch up with them. And it sounds like to some extent, physically, it did.
Somewhat, yes, and to two critical players, Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. And it was only a matter of time. 37 years old, both of them. So, yes, again, going back to the coaching, they made a critical error in letting Patrice play the last regular season game. And then he gets hurt, herniated disc in his back.
Which is a big hurt.
Of course it is. He's a critical player. He's their captain, and he misses the first four games. David Krejci gets hurt during the series, and he has to miss a few games. So, yes, injuries, they all caught up, and they caught up to Linus Ullmark, who was hurt in game 81 of the regular season, just wasn't himself through the playoffs. So, yeah. They got hurt at the bad time.
All right, so now let's look forward, because, of course, with Bergeron, with Krejci, the question is, will they even come back? This was supposed to be the grand hurrah. This team had a chemistry that was unlike anything else. What do you have any idea what's going to happen?
As of now, I don't know, Tiziana. They are going to take some time to make their decisions. I would expect David Krejci. He said he's going to make up his mind very soon. I'd be surprised if he comes back, just because he came back. His family is not here. They've relocated to South Carolina. That's a tough deal for a player to deal with during the season. Patrice, he sounds like he's going to take a little bit more time with his situation, with his family. We'll wait and see. But yeah, if they leave, those are two critical departures.
Last question. How sad is this?
I guess if you look at just the expectations, right, I think that's what makes this one really stinging for the players and for the organization. They expected two more months of this, and then to be out so abruptly after going through such a tremendous historical regular season, and then to lose like that, yeah, that's a shame for them.
Okay, so now I'm going to turn to Abby Chin and the Boston Celtics, where it's like, oh no, oh yes, oh no, oh yes, kind of like it's been since, oh, last year, Abby, and then they did it again this week. What happened?
Yes, you're exactly right, Tiziana. I had flashbacks after Game 5 in the Atlanta series and then after Game 1. This group of the Celtics, for some reason, just has trouble. They get complacent with success. And so they have a tendency to let their foot off the gas when they know another team's star isn't playing and they see an opportunity. And if they could fix it, if they could put their finger on it, they would, because it continues to happen. And we continue to ask. They talked about it. It was discussed in the locker room before game one, and they still couldn't change the way they came out.
And in game one, just for listeners, they're a very important player for the Phillies, not in game one.
For the Sixers, yep. Without the, at the time, he was the presumptive MVP in Joel Embiid. And then on Tuesday, he was named MVP and played. He's dealing with a strained LCL in his right knee, missed the last game of the Sixers' first round series and the first game of this series against the Celtics. So as it shifts now to Philadelphia for game three, there's a huge ceremony scheduled pregame for him to receive the trophy, and then they will tip off in game three in what should be a very hostile environment for the Celtics.
So I love how you covered for me where I literally named the team from the wrong sport. So thank you on that one. So you're there for the media availability today. You'll be covering the game. Game two, they got one, right? Bruins after game seven, it was over. Celtics come back. Jaylen Brown channels something he didn't in game one. They're back in it. What do they credit with the change?
Well, it's pretty funny, and I know we're going to talk about coaches coming up, but Joe Mazzulla, I talked to him exclusively before he goes into the main media session after every home game, and the first thing he said to me was, you can ask about the adjustments, all the adjustments we made. So I did. That was my first question, and he said, we just played harder. That was the biggest difference. They were locked in. There was a different level of urgency and a different level of engagement. And you could feel that from tip-off, and you could see it in the defense on the floor and where they were picking guys up. Jaylen Brown specifically, he had the matchup against James Harden and took that personally. And I think you saw that in game two, just the level of intensity and defense was completely different from game one. And that's why they ran away with it. It was a dominating win and one that I think many people were expecting to see in game one.
So I want to ask you this. What I keep hearing from people, Abby, is if the Boston Celtics team that played game two can show up consistently throughout the rest of this, there's no other team in basketball that would beat them. So the question is, A, do you think they can keep showing up like that? And B, who is the scariest team they might face in an NBA final?
Well, Tiziana, I mean, before the playoffs started, I would say the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And now without that, I'm not sure. I completely agree in that this Celtics team is championship caliber when they play that way. We just need to see it. And that's the problem with this group that we haven't been able to see. Like you said, when we started this conversation, the roller coaster that they continue to ride and put themselves on, they just have a tendency to... They thrive in the adversity and feed off of that, which is why I'm really interested to see what happens here tonight and just have a tendency to let their foot off the gas. So if they can dial it up and play to that level throughout these playoffs, there's no question in my mind that we will be hanging banner 18 in TD Garden.
All right. So, Abby, you did talk about the coaching. We have two first-year coaches here. You talked about Joe Mazzulla saying, you know, hey, I adjusted. I want you to notice. Fluto, first-year coach in Montgomery with the Bruins, too. Sounds like you think he didn't.
No, he did not. The most critical error that he made, and this is in conjunction with their goaltending coach, I'm sure management had input, is that they scrapped their goalie rotation. This was something that had worked for them so well during the year. Linus Ullmark, Jeremy Swayman. And we all saw it, right? The goalie hugs. Everybody loved it. They worked so well together for 19 straight games in February and March. Pure rotation, one on, one off, and it worked really well for them. And then to just scrap it for game six, the six most stressful games of a goalie's career, and he really, Linus struggled. Game five, game six, and then it was too late. Jeremy Swayman plays game seven. He was okay, but they needed him to be really good, really good. And he wasn't. So, yes, Jim Montgomery really failed them.
All right, and Abby Shin, in one sentence, the most important adjustment you want to see Joe Mazzulla make going forward?
I would like Joe Mazzulla to not be snippy with the media with us because we just take it and run with it. And so,
fair enough. Good coaching for him. Abby Shin, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Fluto Shinzawa, senior writer for The Athletic. Thanks to both of you.
Pleasure.